Welcome to Disrupt, the home healthcare news podcast. I am Jack Silverstein of Home Healthcare News. And joining me on today's episode, very excited, very pleased to have Adam Lewis, founder and CEO of Apploy. Adam, how are you today?
Good, Jack. Really happy to be here. Thanks for the time.
Yes, absolutely. So we are going to be spending this time today talking about the labor market. And you and I had some conversations about this, and then we saw this New York Times article. The New York Times published a piece in March that caught a lot of attention in the healthcare world, noting the vast labor gap between the industry and the rest of the economy. The article said that in 2025, healthcare and, quote, related professions in the social assistance category added 693,000 jobs. And without those additions, the economy would have lost 570,000 jobs. In a somewhat related story, 1 month before that piece, Viventium acquired Apploy. So Adam, before we get to the jobs data, let's talk about this acquisition. How did it come about? What does it mean for Viventium, for Apploy, and for home-based care providers?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a very exciting news story, obviously, that we're happy to announce. And, you know, this follows a partnership that Apploy and Viventium have had for probably about 5 years before the acquisition. So this was very natural evolution of that partnership. Viventium had been reselling the Apploy products into the market. So we knew each other very, very well. And really the goal of this acquisition was not to just have another generic HR platform, but to create something that's really healthcare specific for the market. You know, obviously for those of you that know, Viventium is a very strong healthcare focused payroll HR compliance platform, and Apploy very focused on recruiting, onboarding, credentialing. Bringing those two platforms together, we've really created the first truly scaled end-to-end caregiver lifecycle platform designed for this industry. It's scaled in that Viventium serves over 800,000 employees, and Apploy has over 9,000 facilities using its products. So from a combined perspective, we're touching many different components within healthcare, and we really want to be specific. You know, we want to be verticalized. We want to be listening and leaning into these customers, and not just providing technology, but providing true ROI to an industry that needs it more than pretty much any other.
Yeah. Well said. And it is an interesting moment for the industry because, you know, from the provider side, many organizations still feel like they're in a constant staffing crunch despite the strong hiring numbers. What is this disconnect between healthcare job growth headlines and the day-to-day staffing challenges that providers face?
So, you know, obviously looking at this kind of jobs data, and, you know, you mentioned the New York Times article, this has been published, you know, pretty much in all mainstream media, that healthcare is kind of really powering the US economy. That's a macro number, right? And yes, that is the truth. There is a lot of need. We'll get to that. This is an industry that is seeing a continuously increased number of needs, right, in terms of an aging population. Maybe this is an industry that can have less automation than in others. But to your point, Jack, there is still a very real pain, a staffing pain that's local, that's specific, right? And I'm sure that many of these people watching or listening to this podcast will appreciate, right? There's shortages across HHAs, aides, nurses, therapists, all these roles, you know, day to day. And I think that's caused by, number one, a huge turnover in this industry, right? That's a problem that we've really got to solve for, where you're seeing certain healthcare organizations seeing, you know, upwards of 60% annualized turnover. Two, very strong delays, right, in terms of how hard it is to actually onboard a new worker into the organization. And finally, just as everyone knows, this is incredibly competitive, right? So there are more jobs, which means potentially more people are coming and looking at these roles. But how do you get your job in front of candidates before you're competitive down the road? So, you know, all that to say is that this growth doesn't necessarily mean that your agency is going to be staffed on Monday morning, right? You've got to be able to input strategies, technologies, workflows that are going to kind of really mitigate some of those challenges. And you know, you ask any organization within healthcare, to your point, what are your three biggest challenges you're dealing with right now? I'm pretty much sure it's going to be staffing, staffing, and staffing. And so the only way that you can kind of really get ahead of that is by making this a very strategic focus. You know, I'm sure you'd agree, workforce management within healthcare is not so much about back office technologies and systems. This is really impacting the care that the agency is able to give and obviously the revenue that it's able to generate. So you've got to be thoughtful. This is an industry, I think, that yes, there is a big demand. And so I think a lot of these operators now are thinking about how to deal with that, not just from an HR perspective, but even from the desk of the CEO.
I think it is always so interesting when, you know, I write for Home Healthcare News, you're in the business, we're in here. And so, you know, the media landscape within a home-based care news provider, Home Healthcare News, is always going to be different than when, you know, the New York Times picks something up, the Wall Street Journal picks something up, Reuters, et cetera. What was your reaction when you saw those numbers in that New York Times piece?
So yeah, definitely was a striking number, but I was honestly not surprised. You know, I'm in this day in, day out, you know, working with thousands of providers, hearing their challenges. You know, the jobs are there, right? I think, you know, to the point I was making, I think it's actually easier to find people to care for than people to actually provide that care, which is actually kind of an interesting thing, right? You think about it, is you would think it would be the other way around, right? You find the staff teams and you find you have more time, more of a hard time finding the patients. Actually, most organizations will say, we've got the patients, we need the people to find the, to provide the care. Obviously, that's driven, you know, in particular by an aging population. That's true across the whole of the post-acute landscape. And it's only going to be increasing year over year. And I'd say specifically for the world of home care, is that more of that is moving into the home, right? So, you know, I think that the demand is real. And I think there's a narrative shift that needs to happen. You know, I think over the kind of past several years, a lot of other industries caught a lot more attention. You know, maybe these are the areas that people were kind of expecting to develop careers in, to focus on. But I think now it's pretty clear, you know, coming in the post-COVID years, that a really good, stable industry is this industry, right? It comes with a lot of challenges. And I think there's a lot of things that these organizations are trying to figure out in terms of employee engagement, employee retention. But the need is definitely there. This is the engine of job growth. And I think, you know, that's kind of where I think the New York Times was going, where the Wall Street Journal was going back in January with its piece, is that while many other industries are seeing a decline, a replacement of people, even with AI and technologies, this is an industry that at the end of the day, we're hiring people to care for people. And the amount of people that need that care is actually increasing.
So in terms of new workers, are you seeing downstream effects of this strong healthcare jobs numbers versus the weaker numbers throughout the rest of the economy? Meaning, are there trends that show that more young workers who enter the workforce and they're looking to start their careers, that they're realizing, oh, I should be moving into healthcare? And I wonder, maybe is that because of the job opportunities there? And I wonder, does it have anything to do, like, ideologically with a younger generation being, you know, more aware of the challenges that we're going to face with, you know, senior care, or having more compassion, or I don't know. Do you see any downstream effects of all this?
I see a lot of that, actually, what you just said, Jack. You know, I think that for sure, healthcare is a much more attractive entry point now for younger people. I think, kind of given everything we've just said, in the industry in general is seen as one that's stable and meaningful. You know, stable in that, you know, many other industries are losing people to technologies. I think within our industry, the care is still at the center of the narrative. And it's a meaningful career, right? It's how many people are blessed to be able to carry out their day-to-day work where actually they're really giving something that's truly meaningful, right? They're really impacting people's lives in a way that this industry does, right? And that's why we're all doing this, right? I'm sure you as well. We're all in this industry because of the impact we're making to very vulnerable people. I think another piece, and I think you touched upon it, is that organizations now are also trying to understand how they provide better career progression, like long-term career pathing, in terms of you're at this step today. It might be an entry-level job, but here are different things that you can do to actually move up and actually progress through the ladder of your role. And we're seeing a lot of that, with our clients as well, that it's much, much, much better to actually be able to progress your best employees and retain them than obviously have to rehire. On the flip side of that, I would say expectations from younger demographics has to be recognized as well by these organizations. And what I mean by that is that, first of all, getting back to candidates quickly and transparently is not even a question. It has to be done, right? So when an aide or a carer sends out an application and they hear nothing and they go into that kind of black hole as a candidate, that's the worst, right? It's just horrible for the person. It's bad for the brand. So being able to respond to these candidates quickly, even if it's a no, you've got to be transparent. I think you've obviously got to be able to be mobile first, right? So that a lot of these demographics, as we know, are not logging into their email on their computers. They're using text messaging. They're using cell phones. So you've got to be able to talk to the candidates and employees where they want to have that communication. And I think one of the most striking things coming kind of out of kind of COVID and now is that within healthcare, nursing, and within the whole industry in general, is that there's a desire for more flexibility, right? So, maybe prior to the pandemic, within this type of industry setting, it was you did the same shifts week in, week out. It was pretty static. Now, particularly younger people want more flexibility. They want the ability to be able to pick their shifts, change up things, and have a little bit more flexibility. So ultimately, all these things, you need to be able to hire faster, you need to be able to retain better, because at the end of the day, as I said before, slowing hiring, will result in losing workers, and that results in less care and less revenue.
So going along with that, how are these labor pressures impacting operations, retention, and financial performance? And, like you said, this need to be able to move fast, to evaluate candidates quickly, get them in quickly, and make a call quickly.
Yeah, so I think the metric, right, that we look at, every day is time to hire. And I think in other industries, that metric may be the one that's owned by head of talent acquisition or head of HR. In our industry, I think that metric really has to be owned by every person in the C-suite. Time to hire equals revenue and care. So looking at every single step and understanding where are the bottlenecks, is it that I'm not getting enough candidates, or is it that I'm not getting back to my candidates fast enough? Is it that I'm not able to onboard candidates fast enough? In healthcare, onboarding can average out at 35 to 45 days, right? And that's just too long. So how do you streamline that with technology, with automation, and at scale, right? Obviously, you can't get back to every single candidate, one by one. You've got to have some sort of system, some sort of process in place that you can do that. In terms of the pressures, right, if you're not hiring quick enough or fast enough at the rate you need, then ultimately that's going to just put an extra strain on that burnout, which is obviously going to just mean the turnover keeps cycling around and you've got to keep hiring, right? Because at the end of the day, employees, especially in the industry, can get tired out and burnt out. They don't feel appreciated. There's too many open shifts. It means there's missed visits. It means that your existing employees are having to double up on their shifts, and they're ultimately going to leave. So that from a financial perspective, it means you're going to have higher costs and delayed revenue. So it's all a cycle. It's all connected. And that's why I truly believe that the funnel, literally from actually getting the candidate into the funnel, communicating with that candidate, getting them to an interview. Typically, we want to get that interview scheduled in less than 2 days, right? There's no reason why that should take 5 days or a week. And then, as I said, the onboarding, there's a lot of forms to fill out. Obviously, in this industry, it's highly regulated. There's a lot of kind of documentation that needs to be done. But, you know, the days where you're sending an email with a bunch of PDFs and everyone's going to be inputting the same data after doing it already 15 times, that's just not giving that employee the right experience. And honestly, I personally think that the engagement of the candidate, or so should I say even the employee, is made the day they apply to your job. This, it's not something that starts on day one. It's when they submit their resume to your company, how they feel about your company and how long they're going to want to work for you and be retained starts on the first day. So kind of getting it right is important for them. And obviously it's important for your financial success and how you're able to care for your patients.
Perfect. So you're really talking there a lot about the role that technology and workforce management strategies can play in stabilizing staffing. Let's come back around to Viventium and Apploy and, you know, this new acquisition partnership. What can people expect? What's new? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think it's really connected to kind of what we're saying. It's just reducing friction across every piece of the puzzle, right? So from hiring to onboarding to compliance, then the whole workforce management and really kind of getting paid. It's connecting everything from the front end of recruiting to the back end of payroll. And that conversion means happier employees, better retention, and better speed. I think the exciting thing about Apploy and Viventium is that, as I mentioned before, really we have every piece of the puzzle right now. Companies, and we know this from just like listening to their perspective in market, you know, for several years, is they don't want more and more vendors where data, you know, is not properly integrated together, where they're having to kind of log into multiple systems, where the experience, even on the candidate slash employee side, is not fluid. So I think one of the most exciting things about Apploy and Viventium together is that on the employee slash candidate side, is you've got one profile, you've got one simple organization that you have to deal with, that in terms of submitting your resume to actually getting your paycheck and staying retained and staying engaged. And on the company side, same thing, right? It's you're training an organization with one vendor who really understands the needs of the industry, you know, and I think it's, you've got to be strategic. I think these organizations that we work with have got to think very big picture, right? Sometimes we'll come to a new customer and they'll say, we're really struggling. We don't have enough applicants. And, you know, my natural response will be, well, there's a certain amount of applicants. Is it really about applicants? Or is it more about speed and conversion? And often the conversation, once you start realizing and understanding the data, it's actually about efficiency. It's about speed. It's about integrated solutions, which I think that's exactly what Apploy and Viventium are coming to the market with, is every single piece of the puzzle for both the employee and the company connected and with one data set. So you can really see where are your challenges and where do you need to streamline things.
Excellent. So let's get into some predictions. Do you have any predictions for the healthcare job market for the second half of 2026 and into 2027?
Yeah, I think really demand is going to stay very strong, right? I mean, I think there's that's going to be a clear thing that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of jobs, a lot of demand, all the trends that we talked about before. Labor is going to remain very tight, right? And so you're going to have this kind of constantly challenging situation where these organizations and agencies are going to be really struggling and trying to figure out what they can do to make it simpler, make it easier. I think if I was to predict, right, I think that the winners are going to be those that are going to be able to think strategically, hire faster, that includes onboard faster, and be able to kind of get to your paycheck faster, right? So all those different steps, can we do them faster? Can we do them more effectively? And really understanding what is that workflow that's needed to do that, right? I think a lot of the time now, I'm spending a lot of time with clients talking about how do we automate? How do we add AI into the strategy to make this better? I will say, like, I think 2026, it's workflow first. Make sure the workflow of all these different steps is clearly designed, is clearly articulated throughout the organization, and then it's easy to layer AI and automation onto that. I don't think it's the right strategy just to kind of do this piecemeal. Think holistically. Think about how do we hire faster? How do we get employees in the door faster? How do we get them to patients faster? And then what steps can we add automation to?
Adam Lewis, this has been very insightful, very enjoyable. Thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you to Viventium for sponsoring today's podcast. And thank you to Adam Lewis, CEO and founder of Apploy, for joining us on Disrupt from Home Healthcare News. To hear more episodes of Disrupt, visit homehealthcarenews.com/podcast.